Hold on, it just started talking to me. Zero.
There are people. So excited.
I know there are people. I'm
talking about
the
I'm going to I don't know. Yeah, make yourself comfortable.
Very good, very good.
It's $2 for minutes and 50 seconds.
I'll do the show. People complain that I'm a little too passionate. And I care too much. I've raised my voice. I'm a little shrill. I plead for that. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about, we're not even dealing with the issue here. We know with the widening of I-80, we are going to get more traffic on that causeway. We know that. Whether they're carpools, whether they're tolls, that's more traffic and that's more VMT and that's more greenhouse gases. And I know we should get upset about it. The science says that's what it is. And we've never had discussions this before, as far as I can see. Even though UC Davis and RT had presented, we never had a discussion about that in public, what that meant, with the implications. That implication is basically we're going to recongest I-80 and all the overflow traffic is going to re-happen again. And you may not be aware of it, because I haven't seen the discussion, that they're widening I-80 in Solano County, which is going to induce more traffic and more flow up in our direction. There's no discussion about that. You should be looking at the I-80 comprehensive plan. And with no discussion of transit in the corridor, no coordination of the Tahoe. And you have put out this document about the I-80 corridor improvement. This is what Don Sanger says about the project. Now, the project will improve mobility in an environmentally sustainable way. How can a freeway be environmentally sustainable? I know what sustainable agriculture is, which we put things back in soils. I know what sustainable energy is, it's renewable. I know what sustainable forestry is, but what's a sustainable freeway? How can you like this? This is greenwashing to me. I don't understand. And there are articles in the paper about sea level rising already happening. Here's an article. Highway 37 was closed down in the King Town this year, twice. There was a notice from Florida, don't go to Tahoe, it's overused. But we're going to build more roads to Tahoe, get more people up there. Climate change is real. And I'm a little passionate about it, because I'm worried about my daughter. I know we're not going to be allowed, I'll be dead before all this thing happens, but I'm kind of concerned about it, it's a priority. And I know everyone wants to drive more, but we can't drive anymore. We need to do less, and we can't build the freeway. We know to induce demand, if you make the freeways go away, people stop driving. We shouldn't be widening that freeway. It's unethical. It is unethical. I'll share with you these articles about Highway 37 flooding and about Tahoe being overflowed, but we should not be widening the freeway. We should be honest. We should not say this is a sustainable freeway, environmentally sustainable freeway widening. There is no such thing. It's a contradiction. You should take this off your website. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. We appreciate the passion and the fact you're sharing up to speak out at our meetings. Does anyone else wish to speak on the issue not otherwise on the agenda tonight? All right, apparently not. Does anyone time our speakers here?
I believe that Heather is.
Heather, okay, thank you. I was kind of watching the sweet hand there. I wanted to commit. I'm glad someone. Thank you. All right, that allows us then to move to our consent calendar, items 3A through 3D, and we're on the second page of the agenda. Does any member of our panel wish to remove any item for independent consideration? I see no indication. Any member of the public have comments about our consent calendar? I see no indication.
And I move the consent calendar as submitted.
I'm second.
Thank you. Motion by Frederick, second by Lauren, to approve the consent calendar, items 3A through 3D. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. So nice not to have a roll call after every vote like you do online. That allows us to move on to our regular calendar, which is items 4 through 7. And we're going to start with item 4, which is the status report on microtransit fare changes. And I understand we're going to have a staff report first. Eric, correct, right? Just going to live.
And Mr. Chair, just really quick, I wanted to welcome Ms. Ark, who's filling in as our Caltrans representative. She's just joining us online. Do you want to say hi, Nancy?
Good evening, yeah. Everyone. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Marysville?
Sorry? I'm not currently in Marysville. I'm in Roseville right now. But I'm from a district in Marysville. Unfortunately, you haven't been able to hear that well. Sorry. Very good.
I did not hear. Could you repeat your comment? Caltrans.
I was having audio issues, so I wasn't able to hear that well, so sorry I don't have any input right now.
All right. We just want you to know we're always happy to hear your thoughts if you care to share. Thank you. All right.
I was just going to add one thing.
Please.
I'm sorry. I know because we're all over and in the thinking about time, it would be, I think, advantageous to send to cities or city reps front-loaded information, like gathering their priorities and, you know, gathering, you know, data from them so that that could be pulled together before we meet to make the best use of our time.
That's good counsel. Yeah. And I mentioned to my colleagues that we've actually scheduled time month and month with the city manager and myself to meet with Autumn and whoever she might choose to bring with her in order to keep addressing the issues in the city as they relate to the transportation district. So if your cities would benefit from such interaction, I know Autumn would welcome it and be happy to accommodate it. All right, that concludes item 6 tonight. No member of the public wishes to comment on that one. Alan, you want to have something to say?
I just think I don't see on the list because you're not treating, you don't do a cap. The transportation is the Achilles heel of even climate change here. And that should be an absolute priority. We think the cap is important because the IA is going to set back data for 20% of its cap. So we need to think that has to be a priority. That has to be high value.
Would you define your acronym, please, for the record?
Climate Action and Adaption Plan. How are we going to make both address? How are we going to people get on the bus or whatever with heat and trees, things like that? And two, how are we going to maybe help the community travel more without further detriment to our environment? So really messy problem, and I think that should be one of the key missions of the agency. You don't do a capital, it's not in front of the Senate of you, but it's really important. You need to coordinate the city. This is firewall in the city, you can't worry about it, but this agency doesn't. It needs to kind of test this infection very deeply in your bones.
Thank you. We're open to collaborative behavior in all respects, including climate change. All right. This brings us to item 7, our last actual subject item tonight, and that's the Citizens Advisory Committee update, proposed changes, and Director Bernstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to start by just, I really appreciated Director Ferrick's comment about level setting. And so one of the things we wanted to do with this item was just kind of, we have not had a board-level conversation about citizens advisory, at least since I took my role. And so I thought it was a good time to, you know, remind us all what the Citizens Advisory Committee does, who's on it, what their charge is, and how they can be as effective and impactful as possible in being the resource for this board and for staff in our decision-making process. And they have some ideas, and after over the course of last year, but they've been sharing thoughts about how they think they can be more effective and help make the agency more effective. And so I wanted to bring those recommendations to you tonight. So the Citizens Advisory Committee adopted its own framework, which you see on the slide in front of you. It's also in the packet. And it's kind of a Venn diagram with what the center says, meet people where they are and get them where they need to go, which is, I think, a very nice, succinct way of summing it up. And kind of the kind of Venn diagram bubbles around that, or around issues around sustainability and climate, ridership and performance improvements, transportation demand management with fixed route as the backbone. Anyway, there's a lot to it. You can tell they put a lot of thought and effort into it. If you go to the next slide, just a little bit of just about the composition of the CAC. So the members are appointed by the OOCD board. There's one appointee per jurisdiction plus two at-large seats, and each member serves a four-year term. And the current membership there is listed on the slide and also in your packet. Lisa Baker from Winters is our chair, and Steve Streeter from Davis is our vice chair currently. So if we go to the next slide, there's kind of two issue areas I wanted to talk about. The first is CAC impact and communication. And I think the CAC in their conversations over the last year has felt that, you know, we don't really interact with the board. We don't know how the board is, are we actually even providing input that the board is hearing? So based on some of those conversations, we've already made some changes in terms of structuring their meeting frequency, making sure their meeting is 2 weeks before you meet, and then having a long-range calendar for them that coincides with your long-range calendar so we can bring items to them before we bring them to you.
and incorporating their feedback into that. So we've already made a number of those changes, but there's, sorry?
I said that's cool.
Oh, yeah, it is. It just makes sense. And it's easy enough to do. And I think it's been helpful. But so they had some other recommendations as well on kind of impact and communication with the board. You know, things like having a joint meeting of the board and CAC once a year, particularly if we're talking about something like a big issue like work plan or budget. They have talked about designating a spokesperson to attend board meetings and offer the CAC's input on items they think are really important. And, you know, at your discretion, you could give them more time to talk. You know, like if staff give a report, then the CAC representative should give a report. Again, these are all just ideas for your consideration. They've talked about wanting to jointly do ride-alongs or rider forums with board members, to hear firsthand from riders, you know, actually take the route in your community, that you both represent and, you know, hear from riders and have staff come along.
You can go to the casino and pitch a buffet.
That's right. Ride the casino up, you know, do some gambling and then ride it back down. As long as you don't take any seats, there's not always enough seats. So anyway, those are some of the ideas. Having regular one-on-one conversations with your Citizens Advisory Committee member, again, at your discretion to get their input on issues that are coming your way. So those are some of the ideas that they came up with, and we wanted to share those with you for your feedback and to hear what would be most helpful for you in terms of hearing from them.
The first thing I respectfully say is that these are public meetings. Anyone's welcome to come here and speak. And Valley Clean Energy members of our Citizens Advisory Committee will actually come and speak on items on our agenda from time to time when they feel motivated to do so. So every member of that committee should feel free to come anytime they want.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The second issue is around representation. And so the CAC, as it currently is constituted, does not really represent the community that we serve. Our CAC is currently 100% white. It is kind of the overall age of the group is relatively older. It does not have, and most of the folks who ride it are not regular, or many of them are not regular transit riders. Some are. The CAC bylaws have a long list, and you have it in your staff report, of targeted areas of interest. It's on page 32. Talks about, you know, kind of various kind of representation or interests that we'd like to have represented on the CAC. And I would say, you know, we have some of those interests represented, but it's a very long list. And what I think we're really lacking, you know, is that demographic representation, as well as, you know, transit dependent, people who rely on transit for their primary mode of transportation. We really don't have a lot of those perspectives on our committee. So we have some recommendations around improving representation as well. And I wanted to just kind of quickly go through those. One is to create two additional at-large seats on the CAC and fill the vacant at-large seat and really prioritize representation from low-income communities and people of color to make sure we have better demographic representation, and that's something we can do fairly quickly. I'd like us to work with local community-based organizations to identify candidates for the CAC that can help achieve those goals while also helping to you know, build leadership in those communities as an opportunity for leadership development. And then our third final recommendation is to offer meeting stipends to CAC members, consistent with the stipends that are available to the board, to help offset any economic hardship that would be created for them by participating. And so those are the recommendations that we have, and would love to hear from the board members around your thoughts on those, as well as any other ideas that you may have for making the CAC both more representative and also more impactful, more helpful to you and your service on the board.
Thank you, Kurt. Lauren?
Yeah, I've given this a little bit of thought, and I've been on an ad hoc in the past that was withdrawn on another agency to kind of responding a list like this and to come up with what were the priorities to bring in to the organization. And I would love to participate in an ad hoc, maybe with you, if you were interested in if that's something that the board wanted to do, to just kind of refine this, because this is, we can't have all that, but we can have an intersectionality of that, and we can have a priority of that. So that's one way to make a priority out of this really long list.
Hey, that's a very generous offer. He volunteered to
cover it
too.
Yeah.
I think that's
She's right next to me.
Are you interested in helping you do
that? I'm always interested in cooking. I have a couple of thoughts myself.
Are you sure?
That's okay. I don't know when the CAC's meetings are. Could you give me an address? Sure, what time of day?
Yeah, they're on Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m.
Correct? Or no, 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious about just in regards to how that might do. And then I probably should know on stipend. I don't. What is the stipend?
The stipend is $100 per meeting.
That is great. Okay. Well, not for me.
Given the fact that you get an agenda, you have to show up for a meeting, you have to...
Yeah, no, I think it's amazing when I think about potentially offsetting when you're asking about, asking people from lower income areas to come in, potentially sacrificing an hourly wage. I think that's absolutely amazing. So, yes, I would be willing to help. Not quite sure if you need it, but you could let us know if that list does need to be whittled down. Just the last thing I would note is he has no representation of any other race ethnicities, and I just think it's important to call that out. I would also just be curious around, because I see you want parents, you also have certain, it looks like, bands around potentially age range as well, I would imagine. And so it's helpful to know that information too.
Yeah, and I'll just ask, because I think I heard that as a question. I do think it would be valuable to narrow this list down. It's a very long list. I think taking a fresh set of eyes to it, because this list was adopted, I want to say, in October of 2020, and taking a fresh set of eyes about what really are the priorities around demographic representation, other kinds of interests would be very helpful.
And the ad hoc committee could meet by Zoom, too.
Heck yeah. That makes it a lot easier. And
if we confirm that.
But we may want to put that after the strategic meeting that we do, just because, again, just being a new member, it would be helpful to hear thoughts from my colleagues, like to make sure as we're meeting, we also represent that and our direction meeting.
Director Lucas Ferris did have some comments. Was
there? Well,
you can only hear him here, you know what I mean?
No. Oh,
I'm
talking about strategic planning.
Oh.
Like, so we can, I was suggesting that to whittle this down, since we could do that, we could have that session after we have our strategic planning, because again, I should have a level setting like that before whittling this down. Just let me go into it informed.
Don't do anything desperate. Director Prayer.
A couple of items, I think. So firstly, I mean, in terms of I think if a subcommittee or an ad hoc committee is needed, that's great. So that sounds good. I mean, I think the whittling down of some of the items, sort of categories, so to speak, target areas of interest probably does make sense. There's a lot there. I think it's totally unacceptable that we have 100% white community in our advisory committee. I think it doesn't really represent the community, so... I think that needs to be really worked on. I will say, though, that it's always a who steps forward kind of situation, and there are ways to get into that, including offering stipends and having meetings, and I don't think there is, I'll just say it, I mean, there's no perfect kind of day to have a meeting, because the board sure needs to be at 9 a.m., and that's also not conducive to at least half the population, and which is why we have literally 5 people or less attend every meeting in members of the public. So, 6 p.m., 7 p.m., 5 p.m., we're not really all either great either. So, it's a real challenge, I think. One thing we should be doing, I think as an agency, especially around this issue as well, but it's involved in a lot of other things we do, and all our agencies as well, I think we should be doing, is pushing for more flexibility of hybrid meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's something as an agency we should be pushing for, with the legislature. It's one thing for this body to have to meet in person, but like a citizens advisory committee should be able to meet online. It's ridiculous. I mean, for an agency that is a transit agency, for all of us that have to all have to drive from all these other places tonight just to come to this meeting when we could have just been doing it at home, it's a real problem. Unfortunately, no disrespect to obviously this agency, but it's really unfortunate that the legislature and the governor have seen fit to take away the ability for public agencies to meet more flexibly. So, and anything we can do at this APA to try to make us have easier, more flexible meetings, regardless of whether it's the board or community advisory committee and such. Business advisory committee, I think, would be important for us to do that. In terms of improving representation of the, you know, the three sort of suggestions, I mean, I'm in support of all three, right? I think a few additional at-large seats sound good, certainly, and focusing on sort of issues around demographics, but also including the, of course, working with you know, community organizations, that makes a lot of sense, of course. And then certainly the stipends issue. I mean, it's long, long past due. A lot of other agencies are doing it, of course, because it's been, you know, it's, yeah, it's totally, I mean, you know, it's hard to, you know, consider about to, take time away from their families and time away from income earning opportunities to sort of participate in extracurricular activities, so to speak. So, I think it's really important for us to be doing it. Thanks. And yeah, totally support the two of you want them to be a sort of an ad hoc committee to sort of take it on. That sounds great to me. So, thank you.
Thank you, Lucas, and thank you, colleagues. I especially appreciate your willingness to kind of let's help develop some recommendations at the subcommittee. That's great. So work with staff, interact with staff.
I do one quick question. I'm sorry. Is there any term limits currently on the citizens advisory committee? I'm not sure if there are specifically any
terms. Yeah, they do serve 4-year terms. Those terms can be renewed with a positive action of the board. We do have a number of board members who have served for more than 4 years. And so it is at the discretion of the board to.
But there's no sort of maximum capacity where someone can serve.
Correct.
Okay, yeah, that's correct. I will be on the same here in public meeting. I mean, I will be checking in on the county's representation on this body. And that the individual who I think has served quite admirably has served since 2010. So I will be, you know, we're going to have some follow-up questions with the county about the possibility of somebody new serving on behalf of the county.
Can I make just one more suggestion?
Sure.
Just with the time being, I think you said 5 o'clock, the only thing, I think, yeah, that's the only thing I would suggest is, if possible, Tom, I have you in my head, this would be possible though. But if we could provide some sort of childcare, childcare options, partner either, you know, with the Woodland City, if you guys have support childcare here or something like that to offset it, would be amazing. I know it would be a blocker for me when my child is younger.
And I think we do have two citizens of our community that have young children, and their kids can stay on the lap.
Yes.
On Zoom.
Love it.
Yeah.
On Zoom.
Because, right, but they are going to have to go back to in-person meetings, and I think that is going to be a challenge for us.
It's very much a challenge. There's no way my even 9-year-old is here.
They have to be in-person, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're a standing committee of this body. Okay. So they're subject
to it. Okay.
You know, the only thing, I like everything I'm hearing. I do think probably we ought to move more quickly on the citizens advisory committee and then waiting for our strategic planning session. It's just a matter of timing. We can move more quickly. We know what the needs are immediately. Let's do that. And then we'll do our strategic planning session and we can schedule it for everybody. If that's all right with you.
If Josh is still sheet to you, maybe I said one with you or Lucas.
Oh,
because I'd be coming in at cold. I mean, I have some personal thoughts and some thoughts based on my experience doing this equity work in state.
You know, I would never apply the word cold to you. You're hot.
I'm hearing warm spirited. I think is where you're going. I'm going to help you out here.
Thank you. I just want to get in the break right.
You don't want
to
get hot water?
Yeah. I would keep you because your freshness and you new look at it is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I feel so much. I thought earlier.
And as Mr. Chair, I would be happy to help all to do some of that level setting, you know, with Director Early, if that would be helpful to her and to help inform that conversation.
All right.
Thank you.
But before I get myself into more trouble, I think we probably exhaust our agenda for this evening. Any concluding comments?
We do have public comments.
We have public comment on this issue.
And we also do need a motion on this item if there is if you do want to move forward with the presentation.
Or actually inform the ad hoc. Okay.
Yes, inform the ad hoc.
I can still move.
So second it with the ad hoc.
Okay. Dr. Murphy has made the public comment. Has made the motion. The second has come for Director Lauren, and now we have public comment before we vote on the motion. Now tell me how this affects the climate change.
Okay. I'm sorry, that's boring. This is a wonderful document. This is tremendous funding. Thank you, Warren. Thank you. I first started in transportation as a member of the Citizens Advisory Group of Caltrain. It helped that first school going on. So this is exactly where we need to go. I'm a member of the Citizens Advisory Group. There's our two functions. One is an ambassador. There are four people that know the insiders. So if something happens out there, they can explain to everybody else why this happened, the limitations of staff. They can also, they can really be an ambassador. So they can help keep you. They can also take input because quasi staff, they can get input and collect stuff. Because standing focuses, you can always staff already ask, hey, what do you think of this idea from different perspectives? Because they are politicians, they just ride their lives. So they just simple kind of this input and also this ambassador. So, and I'm thankful for the PFD page up. We need to work on that. Need to put the generic pictures of real pictures of the real people. We need an email address where people can write to the Citizens Advisory directly. Still doesn't staff. Because the meeting on Tuesday, people see the agenda right now and they send a public comment to the Citizens Advisory over the weekend. It sits in the Heather's inbox for a long time. So we need to have to go right to left and go right away. So that's some thoughts here. But there's one thing I want to address. There was discussion about what the role of the citizen advisor in terms of liaison on the staff, and there's lots of talk about diversity here in terms of the ethnicity. But the chair of the body said we should speak in one voice. Diversity of ethnicity is really important, but that's important because these people bring different perspectives. And if we submerge the diversity of viewpoint in expressing it to the board, I think we lose something. The real important diversity is diversity of viewpoint. And I didn't hear, to some on the board that the CCIC don't think that their voices can all be heard in their diversity. So that's the one concern I have. But this is a wonderful document, and you should approve this thing. I really commend you for using the citizens' rights to educate your eyes and ears in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Is there additional public comment? All right, as previously announced, we have a motion. We have a second. All in favor? Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, I know it's exceedingly clear to those in the room about who would be on the ad hoc committee, but when I asked for a motion, we didn't make that clear, so for the record.
The motion would include Dr. Dante Hurley and Jesse Loren as our
ad hoc committee. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No worries. Well, thank you for keeping us on a straight and legal. All right, we'll turn to vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right, well, that was our last item of business. Any concluding comments, Director Bernstein?
Thank you
to our staff for all the work preparing for our meeting tonight. We know a lot of work goes into this. We appreciate it. We thank our partners, our Purpose Board, our partner Fantel, and thank you, college, whoever offered that man $4 to pay his fare. That's an admirable employee.
And so the staff of $5.
For a good thing. Thank you. All right, we are adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. That was great. Thank God. It was a meeting, wasn't it?
It was a meeting. Meetings have been a long time.
You were a meeting?
You were too?
But.
I just wanted to. I'm in 2020, not a long time.